Rangers Rambles.
Live now on the air. Sorry you had to see all of this, or hear all of this, in fact. It's just, we never expected this to happen, that Google Hangouts on Air has kind of just died on us, and that's kind of what we've been running for the better part of a year and a half. So yeah, we've been scrambling to find something to deliver an episode, and here we are.
Yeah.
So, with that said, welcome to the next episode of the Raiders Rambles. I am Jolt, chief host of the show, and joining us now is none other than my co-host, Avira.
Hey guys, it's Avira.
Hey, I know you were super stressed, but
oh my goodness, don't even remind me. Yes, I was extremely upset that our previous platform is no longer operational. And so in the past, like, day and a half or so, Jolt and I were trying to figure out what we were going to do, but you know what? Somehow it worked out.
Yeah, and also apologies if there's any slack in the live stream.
I know.
For all that.
There's a lot of things I'm trying to do trialing by fire, but
we're still working out the bugs, but at least for now, you know, we can still present content right now, so that's what's really important.
Yeah. So, if nothing else, though, I'll have the audio version might just be the most ideal thing to listen to, and then you will be able to provide alternate avenues, so in a way you'll be able to catch up on what you've missed. So, no need to panic, though, there's always contingencies. So, next up on the show is Mikhail.
So,
good to have you on board again.
Yeah, Khajiit has wares and stories to sell.
Mm-hmm. Next up on the show is a guest we've had, but who has vanished from the face of the earth for 1 year. It's Felix.
Hey guys, how's it going?
You know you miss me. You know you miss all of us.
Oh, I do.
And you know
I missed all of you
here.
So much. I mean, I was trying to reach out to you guys, but stuff happens.
You know, life got the better of you, and, well, let's just say,
yeah, full-time job. Can't be complaining about that.
And, you know, and there was a moment as well in time where you, what was it called? You just literally weren't able to access any furry stuff.
Yes. I was just basically living in this group home. They didn't promote any of the furry stuff, and basically, yeah, they took away all my furry thing, including my homemade furry pride shirt, and just would not let me express it in any way, shape, or form.
Wow. Well, it's definitely good to have you back.
Terrible.
I know. It's glad to be back.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And last of all is a guest we're having for the first time ever. Maligos.
Hey. I'm actually glad I'm here for the first time, because I've been listening to your podcast always, and I've never had the chance of actually joining, because I was hanging out with other friends, or was either too busy. So I'm actually glad I separated time for you guys.
Aww.
Well, welcome.
Hey,
that's
no
much appreciated.
Now you get the opportunity to be on, though, and I wish it were under. We all wish it were under better circumstances, but as we say, this will have to do.
Can't believe we're back on Discord.
I know.
It's cursed.
Yeah, it's a story in a world that I didn't want to use, but desperate times call for desperate measures, and well, you know what though? There's only three words I want to say to this. Blame it on Orange Doggo Bad.
Why? What did I didn't do anything! Okay.
You were only panicking through the whole thing.
Yeah, because I wanted to milk Google Hangouts for all it was worth, and then it just crapped out on us out of nowhere, and I was like, well, shit, now what do we do? Yeah, but...
You literally are the epitome of a dog. You're just a lost puppy dog when things don't go right.
It's gonna be okay. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's all good. Whatever. It's fine.
You sure?
Maybe. Can I have a treat?
Okay, good boy.
Woof! Malagos, so do you want to just introduce yourself? Maybe
just say a little interesting fact about yourself, though. It's a great intro, yeah. Just to...
Oh, well, not much of a... there's not much to me, exactly. I'm basically a WoW player. You could tell me by a name. And some of you may know me. I'm actually an admin on a subreddit called Crackwatch, where we discuss about the DRMs and video games and reverse engineering and stuff like that. So it's a little. So I'm from a little bit of a controversial sort of side, but yeah, I was a furry raider since 2016. I think it was like 2017. I joined in, and ever since then, I've met Jolt, and we've been good friends since then. And yeah,
cool.
All right, no problem. Hey, we're just happy to have you around, and you're finally here. So in that sense, though, yeah, we've kind of prefaced what we've been facing as of late, and hopefully, you know, we've come the next week or so. This our services will get better and better. As we basically transition to the new chapter.
Yeah, we'll probably do a lot of trial runs with different live streaming services to.
I mean, they just literally offed themselves a couple of days ago, like on August 1st, and then we just like, wow.
Well, I mean, it shouldn't be that hard. There's got to be like hundreds of different cat sites. Like, we live in a world of an overpopulated population. There's got to be.
No, but like Google Hangouts was like just so easy to use and was, you know, really functional. And now all of a sudden it's just gone? I mean, like, consider how many other YouTubers have used this platform and now they just can't anymore. Like, damn.
And it's all because of money.
I know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, then again, after Google was exposed by Project Veritas, they've been losing finances ever since.
And yeah, this is their solution.
But yay. So, in that said, I think it's time to start with the main story of the week, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, you're up on the. This is your moment to shine.
Mm-hmm. Ready? Yeah, I basically was at a fur camp during the last week of July.
Yes, kind of introduce us to it though. What's it called? Where is it at?
It's basically Living Skies. The group is basically Living Skies, and for the Saskatchewan Furs at a fur camp at Pelican Point, Regina Beach area. And I could probably also do a little bit of screen sharing.
I think I've got this under control. You guys should be able to see this though in some.
Yeah, I'm seeing it.
To some degree, yeah, most. But it looks so far, it looks quite impressive as a turnout though. And you say this week the theme of the year is the circus.
Yeah, it's ironically circus themed because, you know, the common meme of 2019 is Clown World.
Yes! That's what's up.
Oh my god, I hate clowns. I mean, I like the movie It. That's the only clown movie or something.
Oh
like
yeah,
the
this is...
clown things are just...
This is at the end of the con during, like, it was known as the Rope of Friendship.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah, ended up saying something really good about the con at the end.
Well, that's wholesome.
And then at the end, they actually have a thing called Hiss and Purr where they do a con review. for some
Promising.
people. It's basically just people who go to the con board or the security, and they talk about maybe, think ways to make it better. Just to
Oh.
it's.
So, what sort of events that were there that you went to and stuff?
Oh, just various fur panels, like balancing, not balancing, but just basically basically having like positivity.
You mean that was like the overall theme of it?
Well, just like there were like various panels with people at the con where they talked about one of them by the name of Farm Wolf, like think positive for life, like affirmations, just kind of
Yeah, I kind of get it. Like a positive message,
kind of
Interestingly
thing.
enough, yeah, I actually went to a very similar panel at Anthrocon called it's like a motivation app. It's interesting.
And the group that I'm a part of for my local group and being at the fur camp and all that was like with these people are very they're very nice people.
That's great. So, how many people were there, like, would you estimate?
Basically, on the second day when all the other attendees come for like the sometimes people only arrive for like the day or that's when actually some of the kids from like the because there are other people like renting out cabins there and they actually come to the place to
Oh,
hang
most
out and
definitely.
just kind of have a little bit of fun with furries.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, and we have basically like for the games that we had set up for them were like dart throwing, cups. We had like cups set up and stuff. Where's the photos from
Yeah,
that?
there's a couple of ones I'm looking at. There's a jumping through hoops. There's a couple of other things though. You gotta have things like the classics, like the ring toss.
Wow, this is very different than pretty much anything that I've ever been to before. It seems like it's more of like an outdoor sort of event
Yeah,
that
it
takes place
is.
over a couple of days. It's not so much of a convention per se, but it's definitely a pretty big gathering.
Yeah, it's a pretty big gathering. We actually have a couple other fur camps in Canada as well.
So I have a question. This is like furry camp, right? So this like multiple day event, like 2 or 3 days or something.
Yeah, 2 or 3 days, people set up tents and they stay overnight, that kind of thing.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
That is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and there's a photo of hot sauces all lined up. One of the fun kind of panels that we did was one of the guys, like Flurry, had like hot sauces where you would roll a 20. Like Dungeons and Dragons die, and whatever number it got landed on, you had to try it. And number 19 is the hottest one. It has like freaking Carolina Reapers in it.
Oh.
That stuff freaking burns. And I got that number like twice, and another person got it like four times.
We sell those at my work, the Carolina Reapers. I was actually surprised to see them.
Freaking hell, it's like.
It's
I
like
love that
death growing
game.
out of the ground, basically. Hence the name Reaper.
You're right. Yeah, right. Sounds like a pretty fun game too. Definitely a roll of the dice.
And Jolt, if you were to go to one of the group photos,
Yeah, I've got one of
where
the group
I'm,
photos fired up, and
yeah, where I'm located, I'm the guy wearing the leopard onesie.
nice. How many suits were there all in all total? 1, 2, 6?
There were at least 10.
Ah, not too bad.
Yeah, 1 in 5 people were suitors.
Okay, that's actually that's still a reasonable ratio, all things considered. Because that's kind of where even all bigger cons like that tend to have like a ratio of.
Yeah, and Munchkin, though, he has like multiple suits and he kind of lends them out to do like to have people at least be in the parade or at least get an experience of kind of like wearing one and being in like really hot weather.
Okay, yeah, I mean, there's more.
Stay hydrated, kids.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, if you absolutely have to, do take a poodling.
I would have to say no to that, but
I mean, yeah. So what? I freaking poodled at Lake Powell. Don't at me.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I guess we're gonna have a discussion after this, but okay.
Yeah,
long discussion.
You know what? You know who I'd piss off if I was poodling though? The guys who run Iron Fest, because they are seriously old guard furries.
Oh, yeah. And at one point, you'll see our leader Munchkin just burning stuff because he's introducing the next theme of the year, which is Furry Olympics. Which is because, you know, as you know, it's something that happens every 4 years. He basically says, and what happens every 4 years? Furry is the Olympics, so Furry Olympics.
Oh, that's actually pretty fitting.
Yeah.
Wow, so it basically comes with its own carrying of the torch and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what kind of fashion, though?
Cooking marshmallows.
Oh, by the way, there's some other neat stuff, too. An improvised dance floor, aka slash twister thing.
Yeah, needless to say that, needless to say that our group can also be a little bit crazy.
I know. All in all, though, they all gotta have the dances, my dude. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. There's also a few good. There are actually a few good fursuit dancers when you come across like the videos, them doing like the dance competitions.
Nice.
I'd love to become a fursuit dancer, honestly. I think that's the coolest thing anyone could ever do.
Yeah, it could be fun. So, when it comes to, like, the theme of the whole circus thing, like, did they have any, like, any clowns there? Or any, like, I don't know, like...
They were handing out clown noses after you, jumped... after you jumped through the hoop. After you jump through the hoop, the ring of fire, you either get, like, a clown nose and a water pistol after that. That's what we were giving out to the children and everybody else who was participating.
So all you have to do is jump through a ring of fire and you're a certified clown.
It is
no wonder
easy,
they suck.
Here's your clown license.
Hey.
Jump through this hoop of fire. You could become a clown in just one day. I think the only clown is you making a fool of yourself for even doing it.
I mean, come on. We dress up as animals for fun. I really don't think we take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah, you're right, we don't.
It's the perfect spectacle for an event like this.
It totally is.
Yeah. Yeah, Munchkin is like the guy also wearing like the red coat that you see
like
the red circus carry.
Typical ringmaster, eh?
Yeah, he is.
And also, what's this whole game like where they were putting up lots and lots of strings as if you were literally dodging lasers and stuff?
What?
There was a video as well. They were putting up a big line of string. Everybody was.
Oh, a big line of string? That's the friendship.
Oh, that's wholesome.
The rope of friendship kind of thing that we do at the end.
Ah, oh, that's pretty wholesome.
Yeah.
So cute.
But all in all, though, just how is your kind of overall experience as well? Like, cause I can imagine the fursuiters would be panicking to camp in tents.
Well, it's because that there was a cabin there, like Munchkin's cabin, where people had like he had a headless lounge set up. I mean, it's everything is pretty much done almost on his property, essentially.
Oh, that's what this is.
Yeah, I mean, this is like it's because since our group in Saskatchewan is relatively small and spread out, it's kind of hard to get like a big group going. But we're getting there. I mean, we're maybe one day we'll probably have a convention center set up.
No, I was thinking that this actually took place at like some kind of a public park or something.
No, it was just that like some kind of like place where people either rent or own cabins, and right by this lakeside.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But yeah, it's a very nice scenic place, isn't it, though? But all in all, though, just to kind of move on to this next thing, how would you gladly, recommend furries to get up there, go camping, and just
Oh
have.
yeah. Just make sure that just make sure that when you're camp for camping, be in a kind of like a relatively open area, so you don't get mistakenly shot or whatever. I don't know. Just don't camp out in the woods in fursuit or out in the prairies. Just don't do it. Like, just have it be like at a cabin site or a campsite.
Yeah, I know.
Cause
One last thing. Were they playing the fascist cartoon known as Paw Patrol, like on the lights? Like not playing, but rather.
Fascist cartoon.
Oh yeah. Actually, when we were there, Munchkin had like these like in the headless lounge, like on the TV. Like sometimes we had also early morning cartoons, and they also had he, Munchkin had some of the early cartoons, like the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. And let me tell you, like some of those old cartoons can be pretty racist, and there was also like the war propaganda, and like the Nazis and all that.
Oh yeah, that's pretty
Hey,
normal.
maybe Scorch could probably get hooked on it. Hey.
If he doesn't fall off the end of the earth.
Oh
Nah, he's gotta
snap.
have dragons. He's gotta have dragons.
That's right.
But yeah. Other than that though, so Canada's really, wouldn't you say Canada's really shaping up to be the new, epicenter of furry summer events? I mean, there's that, there's the camp you went to, and now there's a few cons shaping up there.
Well, I mean, possibly, and also because Canada, well, even during the summertime, we only get up to about the hottest it can ever get at one point is maybe 40 degrees Celsius, but that's only one day, and then it drops down to like back down to like 25 degrees Celsius the next day. Or
Yeah.
would you mind translating that for our American audience?
it can be the rare highest at once ever is 106.
From 101 down to like 77 Fahrenheit the next day.
Ah, good. Okay.
All good.
That makes more sense. Yeah.
Usually down here in BC and Canada here, it's usually always around like 26 to maybe around 30 degrees.
So it's pretty reasonable then. But yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so it'd be it's nice it's nice weather to do like to do fursuiting in. Like not too hot. I mean it's warm, but just make sure you keep yourself hydrated. But during the weekend though, it was still it was relatively hot. It was about 89 degrees Fahrenheit, about 31 degrees Celsius.
So I guess one question I have is the first time that you've gone to this event, or have you done it in the past?
This is my second year.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Nice.
Yeah, well, well, basically because since I just joined the group right around the time that I basically went to this fur camp.
Yeah. Either
Yeah.
way, though, I'm so
Hey,
glad.
Joel.
Yeah.
Is this the first time we've had two Canadians on the podcast at once?
Yes.
I feel so special.
I know.
Now, can you rake the leaves off my country, please? Because I really want them to go away.
Much obliged.
Oh.
Oh, I'll even send you the stickers if you really pay me a pretty penny. No, I'm kidding. But hey, that's on the pipeline. That's on the pipeline. You know it.
I have one of those stickers as well. Like an actual physical sticker is like I have an actual physical
I
sticker
know.
of the
I want to
rake.
get a whole bunch of them just so I can sticker bomb everywhere around British Columbia. I'm just going to
Hey,
go to light
don't do
posts
anything illegal,
everywhere.
you hear?
That's not illegal to cleanse Canada of all the leaves.
Well, people, we have to rake the leaves after all.
Hey, you have
It's
your civic
still
duty. Gentlemen, you have your
Especially
civic
after the
duty.
fall.
Get to it. You have your civic duty. But hey.
Although Trudeau's lawn's covered in leaves, he won't even bother to rake them. They cover his entire house.
No, God, come on now. Let's not go there.
Gentlemen. I mean, that's a wrap, though. So, guys, if you're ever in the neck of, you know, in that side of Canada, like, right around, right down central Canada, why not go, you know, have a blast at, what is it called, Living Skies Fur Camp? Yeah, I mean, Mikhail, he highly recommends it, though, so, you know what?
Yeah, I recommend it.
I think people need a venture outside of the, you know, the tried and true FurCon, so...
Yeah, and there have been, like, and there's been major improvements, especially from last year.
Great.
Wonderful. So...
Hey, did they have any maple syrup there?
I mean, there had to be at least something that's maple-flavored. I don't know, maybe the bacon?
Of course. But, yeah.
Anyway.
I think that'll kind of wrap that up for this story. So the next item that we're going to share with you... It's something a little crazy that the Japanese, God bless them, have done.
It's Japan torture.
Approved experiments that would allow for human-animal hybrids to be born for the first time ever.
Well, my thoughts on this, first of all, is they're going to be putting cells into an animal, and these cells can develop into anything. So that means it can develop the brain. So what happens if these animals that they're experimenting on, what if maybe the little rodents might be successful, but what if they go mainstream, and start doing it on bigger animals? Then what happens if they get a consciousness, right? Then they're going to realize that we created them for our success, so we're going to kill an entire homemade species, essentially, that knows consciousness and knows that it's going to die for our survival. That's going to start anything to rebel against us. And
okay,
as crazy as it says the Planet of the Apes shit, but this is really what we could be facing if this happens.
I did not think about that. I'm glad you brought that up, because the whole point of what they're trying to do in Japan is that, you know, they want to be able to have, you know, animals like pigs, cows, or even horses to, you know, be injected with a particular type of human DNA, which can grow human organs, which can be compatible with organ donations. So, like, they want to be able to, you know, have that kind of a resource. Because right now, like, you know, if someone needs, like, a kidney transplant, for instance, they can't just take it from a pig because it's not human.
No.
So they're trying to grow human organs in animals and then use them as essentially organ donors. Like, that's really where they're starting to develop the research. But when you mention the brain thing, what if they gave a cow a human brain? Like,
yeah.
Is that even possible to do?
Well, right now it's not, but if you start mixing, like, there is a reason nature made it so we can't breed with animals and animals can't breed with us. It's so this intercrossing doesn't happen, the balance doesn't get disturbed. Japan, right now, they're going to start playing God. They're going to mess up the entire genus pool of anything that they're going to come in contact with, and it's just going to cause chaos if it turns the wrong way.
Well, that's a really disturbing idea.
You know what I say about that? I say fuck it.
This is why I said, openly tweeted out, I welcome our new Neko and Kemono overlords.
Yeah.
Go on.
So I'm talking this out of a perspective from a bioengineer, but I might actually be the only one who, or Mikhail is probably going to agree with me, but I think I would actually approve this kind of experiment for science.
Well, for I'm not saying purposes.
I wouldn't approve it in any way, because I am very protective over animals. Like, I'm not as protective as PETA. Like, I say, you can have a pet, whatever, you're taking care of the animal. But I say, do not fuck with that animal species. Do not change anything that it is.
Well,
because there's a reason there's no anthropomorphic animals in real life.
Well, that's not really what they're assigned, I guess, like, their mission statement really is at this point. They're saying that they want to be able to use just kind of gene splicing technology to be able to grow organs in, you know, other animals that we can use to help, you know, humans. But if it goes too far, you know, like, the lines have to be drawn somewhere.
I say we shouldn't even start with it, because once we start with it, even if it is successful, then that's just one step closer to people saying, oh, well, I want to be close to an animal. Well, jack me up with animal freaking genes.
Well, no. But like, what if you needed a kidney and, you know, you were dying without it? And there was some research out there that said, all right, well, we can grow a kidney for you in, you know, such and such amount of time, but it's going to come from, like, a cow, even though it's a human, you know, DNA.
That's well, there is always that, yes. And that's where the yin and yang effect comes in. Like, it could be a positive, but it could also have its negatives.
But what if that same cow had a human brain, though?
Yeah, what if it knew? Like, maybe they wouldn't have the vocal cords to speak, but
this melon,
let's say it knew everything that's going on around it, and it
but that's
more
nothing
aware.
Compared to the
like,
price that some
can you
reach.
Just imagine an animal with the amount of intelligence that a human has, and knowing that we're going to kill it because we're just using it to survive?
This melon costs two.
Yeah, like, I can totally imagine that.
$200.
What if you did that to an entire
but that's
human
nothing compared
civilization?
To the price that
you
some
know what
can
that's going to cause? That's going
to
cause
and
war.
And in May 2019, two
like
melons
war,
from
like
Hokkaido
although
sold
it would be funny to have war
fight.
Against a cow. Yeah, we'd have a Zootopia situation here, though.
Or have a situation like Animal Farm, who knows?
Oh
but,
my god, no.
But then what's to say that the experiments don't go too far and then they think, oh well maybe it's safe just to have them roam in the wild. Next thing you know, they breed and now we have leopards that can think like us and literally aren't scared of anything. Something that's smart enough to know a car is not gonna hurt it if it doesn't walk in front of it, so it'll wait and then go and jump somebody. It's like
I'm not really sure that's how nature works.
That's why gene mixing is not in nature.
Felix, let me actually correct you on that. Because you think that with this kind of experiment, that somehow the animals will be able to gain emotions, consciousness, and everything that we humans have that separates us from the animals. But here's
yes.
the thing.
Yes.
Even us humans, we don't know everything about the brain. We don't know everything about how it works, how it, like, you know, we do know some basic things, you know, but it's not, humans cannot replicate their own brain into robots. That's why the robots right now, you don't see them being as smart as humans. This is the same way with the animals.
Yeah.
Humans can't transfer their own intelligence and their own consciousness into an animal, which is I think it's beyond what the human capabilities can do. What's actually more truthful here is that they're trying to somehow make the animal organs more compatible with our organs in a way that it would help in modern medicine and stuff. Because, interesting fact, pigs actually have the closest organs to humans.
Yeah. That's why we can implement a heart from a pig into a human.
See, there you go. And with this kind of experiment, you could actually fit more than a heart. You could probably make some kind of a liver transplant or a kidney transplant or I don't know, maybe a lung transplant, whatever.
I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying it's a little bit too dangerous to go ahead with it right now in the early stages of knowledge that we have.
I mean, I can understand your fear because this is the same kind of fear that whenever they make like some kind of advanced AI robot, they will go on saying, oh, but it's going to turn into Skynet, and robots are going to kill us all once they regain consciousness. But I think, like, even so, humans are not as capable as you think to create, a second version of a human, or in this case, I was saying, like, an anthropomorphic animal that has the same traits as a human does. So let's say, like leopards that know how that have emotions that are similar to humans and have a consciousness and stuff, but that's not going to happen. I think not in our lifetime.
No, it's not going to happen. And I think the reason why primarily is because the human brain does have a particular type of biology, especially like when it comes to size. So you cannot fit the entirety of a human brain inside the skull of, let's say, a cat or a pig or a chicken. It's just not going to happen.
But let's say let's say they start experimenting with animals that are smart, like animals that are like a dolphin or an elephant. What if they do that? Like those little species that don't have the brain capacity, they die before the brain even got strong enough because it'd have to grow. These other animals have the brains big enough. Now, if you mix our genes into it, like the cells, yes, they'll make brain growth happen. And especially if it's human intelligence can then start to develop within the animal. It won't be like exactly 100% human, like to walking, talking, and speaking, but they'll have a higher form of intelligence than their predecessors did.
Potentially, yeah. I suppose like in the next few decades, if this research really does go farther forward than we can possibly imagine. But currently, they're really just trying to focus on the whole like organ transplant issue.
Yeah.
And it would be beneficial, honestly. Like, could you imagine like if we had certain, like farms and we bred certain animals that could, you know, be organ donors instead of having to rely on people dying to do such a thing? That could definitely benefit society.
Yes, and that would be good.
It would be good, but at the same time, though, if, you know...
But then who's not to say that...
A little bit further, then they put human brain cells in, like, I don't know, horses or something. I mean, that'd be a little crazy.
But you know how there's a big jump in evolution, the big skipping stone that we have in evolution in the human species where we just one day evolved into what we are? Who's not to say that there wasn't a higher form of power on this planet before that what did that to us? Now, I'm not going to get into that, but... Anyway.
Well, I can understand your fear and stuff, and like I said, this is the same exact fear. And the scenario that you described, the one where you put a human brain DNA into a monkey or a dolphin, reminds me of that opening scene from the new Planet of the Apes movie.
Yeah,
where the monkeys start to suddenly become more and more smarter, and suddenly start to kind of rebel against the scientists.
Yes,
I mean it's an interesting concept, but again, we're so far from that happening. Our technology is
we're far from it now, but who's to say in the future we might not be close?
In the future, that might be, but as of now, if you look at it.
We're not close in the technology with it.
No, not at all.
What's interesting about this whole thing is this used to be a very controversial ethical debate. However, recently, the Japanese government has actually officially approved funding for this type of research. So it's on the way.
Yeah, and now look, you've got everybody saying the potential is limitless now. And everybody on the internet kind of now wants, you know, their catgirl waifus.
Oh my god.
My 100% my belief system is let nature do its thing, don't play God, and just live life as it's supposed to be.
I think it's too late for that.
Too late. And I say, and I kind of, I don't know why, but I seem to almost revel in that madness.
Hey, I mean, look, furries have
although it would be cool to have a walking, talking animal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Not to mention, furries have also kind of dreamt up ways to try and become their personas. Like, the next level after fursuits.
Yeah, but that's like a whole, like...
Yeah, but what happens if it fails on them, right? There's no reversing it. We always think of how to progress something, but we never think of how to really reverse it now, do we?
No, it's more like they just make these bad choices, and they have to live with it. For better or
yes.
for worse.
Yes.
So it's kind of like being a trans furry.
Look,
like,
it's a gamble.
You know, once you go...
a trans species.
Once you become, you know, such and such, there's really no going back, you know.
What if it could essentially ruin somebody's life if it doesn't turn out the way they wanted?
Yeah, I don't care. Turn me into a cachate.
That kind of reminds me of some real-world examples of what humans are doing to themselves nowadays.
Yes, like what about that guy that got all like those piercings and stuff and the tattoos and he was in like the Ripley's Believe It or Not book, the cat guy? He never got a relationship after that. He never had a relationship after that. He actually ended up hanging himself.
Yeah, there's side effects that you got to deal with if you actually go through with something as wild as this.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think we should just have a little bit more time to think this over before we really do the decision.
I know. It's all in the memes, my dude. That's all it is now.
Yes.
Yeah, you know about that one game called Changed on, I think it was like Steam?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, the process of you being turned into like a bit of a furry creature at the end was a very slow process.
Yes.
Probably unconscious for at least 6 weeks or maybe even a couple of months.
And who's to say you might not even wake up from that unconsciousness?
Yeah, fair enough.
I think we're getting a little bit off topic here. When it comes to the whole Japanese research thing, they're not trying to, you know, alter current life forms. What they're doing is they want to try to create something that could grow, which, you know, has compatible organs and things of that nature.
Yes.
You know, like they're not actually trying to implant human organs into something and create some kind of a monster.
Yeah.
It starts at the cellular and DNA level. And they want to see what happens.
There's a million complications.
I mean, yeah, this is all just testing. This is all just testing, and it might succeed, or it might fail.
Right now, it's just a 50-50% chance whether my theory will come to truth or whether it will actually be successful. So,
your theory will not come in our lifetime, so you shouldn't really.
It won't come in my lifetime, but I worry about the future, so.
Well,
my biggest hope is that they are one day able to create a dragon. That would be cool.
Oh,
your voice will be all over that, man.
Yes, like a legit dragon. Shit flies and breathes fire. That would just be the coolest
like dragon
thing.
Robot,
that would become almost a weapon of war.
Yeah, it would.
No.
Yeah.
One can dream, huh? One can dream. But we'll keep an eye on this because the Japanese are doing something crazy that may want to do.
As they always do.
Yeah. Oh.
The Japanese were always weird.
Yeah. But speaking of, you know, what the Japanese are going to do, this should be a good time to move to the next item of the day.
Yes.
Which would be Nintendo themed areas coming to Universal theme parks.
I find this great.
Yeah. Sounds fun.
I know. It might
because as they said, right now, children are actually being proven that they know Mario before Mickey Mouse.
Right, so this is kind of like a stab at Disney a little bit. Basically, what's going on here is Universal Studios is going to be creating a Nintendo Land, or Nintendo World, or, you know, whatever they want to call it. Basically, they're using all the IPs from the Nintendo system, you know, like Mario, Pokemon, all this kind of stuff, you know, Zelda, and they're creating an extension of their theme park to kind of combat what Disney is currently doing.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, kind of like the premise here.
I mean, I really like the idea because I really don't like Disney right now because of how much stuff they've done. Like, they were so close to actually even getting the Harry Potter franchise, but they wanted to change up the story, and J.K. Rowling, she said, no, it's my book. It's how it's going to go my way, and so they lost it, which I'm happy they did because they would have completely turned Harry Potter woke.
Oh, of course. Well, I mean, J.K. Rowling kind of already...
Like, Harry Potter would probably become, like, a gay femboy, soy boy, transgender, like, something.
Dude, have you...
Isn't that what J.K. Rowling has been kind of talking about lately?
He kind of already did a little bit of that, but not as extreme as what Disney would probably have done.
Disney would force it down our throats, while J.K. Rowling would just kind of implement it in a more natural way.
I mean, J.K. Rowling made Dumbledore gay. How the hell do you do that? Come on now. Really? Why? It's just retarded. Whatever. So...
Yeah.
But...
yeah, what happened to all the freaking Dumbledore McGonagall people?
Compare, like, Nintendo Land to something like, you know, the whole Star Wars Galaxy exhibit that has very, very low attendance at Disneyland right now.
Yeah, the Star Wars.
That's pretty bad. Like, all the money they've invested in creating this new extension, nobody's going to.
Well, it just shows you how shit Disney is at making movies nowadays.
Well, movies and even, like, attractions to, like, promote the movies, too. Because no one really cares anymore. Like nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, I'd find it cool to go to a place to fly a Millennium Falcon simulator, but with what's gone on with Star Wars, it kind of turned me off of Star Wars. The original six are my favorite, and after that, it just went downhill.
Even the prequels are better than what Disney's produced.
Yeah.
Yep.
You heard about the toy company, the toys in Star Wars franchise dropping on low. Like, nobody's buying the Rey figurines, kids are basically not attracted to the new Star Wars anymore.
Yeah, it's not relatable. It's, you know, it's just not good writing. It's not a good story.
It's not only that. It's just that they don't like, when Luke Skywalker action figures came out. Kids would relate to. I remember, like, when I was young and I watched Star Wars the first time, I could relate to Luke Skywalker. In fact, he was one of my favorite, you know, childhood heroes. Like, you could, like, he was relatable. Like, kids would relate to him. Kids would buy action figures of him. And, you know, that's how the toy companies would grow. But when you watch Rey, and you, like a 6 year or like a 7 or 8 year old would watch Rey, they couldn't easily relate to, because Rey is kind of like, she's good with everything.
And, yeah.
Mary Sue, yeah.
And that's not really a fun, you know, that's not really a relatable character where everything she does is like perfect and everyone likes her and everything goes in.
Well, it's obvious what it is. It's all about the like feminine power and all that kind of stuff. It's like, they can't have a movie go normal anymore because politics has to get involved.
Of course. So, getting back to the main point here about how Universal is creating this theme park in an attempt to, I guess, combat against what Disney is doing. Obviously, there are some problems with how Disney is handling its current IPs. Now, I don't think that Nintendo is going to do this. As I believe it was Felix, right? Like, you mentioned earlier that more kids recognize Mario than they do Mickey Mouse, right?
Yes.
So yeah. One of the rides that's going to be at this potentially new park in Universal is going to be a Mario Kart, I guess like a coaster, or possibly it's going to be like a go-kart kind of race. And that would be a really cool thing to do.
Oh, like, yeah.
Anyone can enjoy that. And you don't have to, you know, be invested in some story or woke politics or any bullshit like that. It's just, you know, game franchises, and everybody could enjoy that.
Right, it's like freaking. If they have an idea for them to do, is that if they were to have, I guess one of the rides for like a Mario Kart would be have pop ups or even just make miniature kind of things, almost like you're driving on the one of the actual Mario tracks. Like have a freaking Mario track from a game put in IRL.
Yeah,
and have the occasional blast of fire.
There's
pop
a lot
up,
of
you know,
potential
in
this
there.
Nintendo theme park, most definitely.
But it's just going to be like only just normal go karts. It won't be like Blue Shell, Banana Peels, anything like that. No.
As fun as it would be,
it would be a bit dangerous.
Well, yeah, but
hell, sign or waiver.
Point.
Okay,
I'd do it.
You know, I'd do it too if there was a waiver involved. But yeah, and saying like. Saying, like, we are not held liable for any loss of limb, bruised legs, or anything like that.
Kind of sounds like that thing called Action Park. Where you control your own rides. I don't know. It was like an older amusement park where it was insane.
It is. But, you know, there's a million other franchises, too, that Nintendo also owns, considering that that has good theme park potential. Remember?
Yeah.
Pokemon. Absolutely. Yeah, there's
and they
can
finally get their own dancing Pikachus.
They could have, like, a Team Rocket Meowth hot air balloon rides. I mean, that'd be cool. Ooh. I go on that.
And I think I remember somebody mentioning something in a previous podcast that Nintendo's actually stepping up to bat, and they're actually doing something now, and PlayStation's going the opposite direction. It's like they've switched.
Nintendo
knows what they're doing, and Disney is quite worried about it. It's really funny, you know, Nintendo made this announcement on, intentionally during this time frame. I forgot exactly what it was supposed to be right before. It was something before Disney was about to make some kind of a big like announcement, but Nintendo got there first. It was like 2 days before.
Dude yeah. I got a great idea for this Nintendo Land.
Oh yeah.
F-Zero go karts. With Captain Falcon and stuff.
Oh boy. Okay.
And also you'd have, you know, those, if you ever been to like theme park, you know those like mini games where you have like lasers and stuff and you'd shoot each other, it's kind of like a paintball but with lasers.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You'd have that like Metroid style, you know. Like Metroid theme kind of laser shooting where you shoot like Mother Brain and stuff.
Yeah.
I can totally cool. see Nintendo beating down Disney because when Ooh. I was the younger, I don't remember
bigger.
Any Disney.
It's so much bigger the game market.
I don't remember any Mickey Mouse cartoons from when I was a kid. I never really watched them, but I do remember sitting on a Game Boy playing Mario, and I do remember a DS playing Mario. That's like uh-huh. Mario.
Yeah,
it's like
classic.
It's everywhere, and it's not dying, and it's staying the same, and that's the reason it's so successful, because it hasn't changed from the original.
And one of the most successful games is Smash. Can you imagine if they somehow did that, like, in real life at, like, an amusement park?
I mean, it's that would be awesome.
They'd have to do it with the mascots dressing up as every character. Now, who wouldn't want to see that?
Yes. Okay, you pick your character, you dress up in the suit and stuff. Maybe you get onto, like, some platform and, like, hit each other with, like, batons and fall into, like, the water or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something crazy.
Yeah, maybe a foam pit, but hey, the idea's
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nintendo just needs to make it happen.
And yeah. they're making steps towards that.
Damn right, I'd sign up for this stuff.
I really like the direction Nintendo's going right now.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing good.
Hey, look at them, they're leading the way, and there's no Sony and Microsoft theme parks.
No.
No. Sony's stuck in their own,
They like to milk the money out of each other.
Yeah, their own progressive world, you know, they're building. The world.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the freaking, yeah, there's like, isn't,
Yeah, Sony.
Yeah, Disney is also in like video games. I mean, they have like Kingdom Hearts and all that. But even with that, they can't really.
No, don't no. Kingdom Hearts.
I've never even heard of that. That's how small it is.
No, Kingdom Hearts is a hodgepodge of nonsense. You got freaking Winnie the Pooh fighting with like anime characters and
Sephiroth.
It makes like zero sense.
This sounds like the Dragon Ball Z video game gone wrong.
franchise.
No, that's hysterical.
I'm not even joking. Like, literally, Winnie the Pooh fights with anime characters.
That is stupid.
I know.
And you have Donald Duck and Goofy fighting Sephiroth.
Yeah, right. Like, what's that? Like, what's even happening?
Kingdom. That's exactly how Kingdom Hearts was. Like Nintendo. Yeah.
It was a co-op between Square Enix and
precisely.
Yeah,
Disney and Square Enix.
It was Sony. Yeah, Square. It was Sony and Disney. Well, then again, I guess where it was. I guess that's why. I guess that's how we understand how freaking woke Disney and Sony are. I guess they just.
Actually,
I guess all that's left for them is to suck each other off into oblivion.
Hey,
Joel, they did make, I think Disney did make a video game, I think, like, a few years ago.
Infinity.
And that was, no, I think, like, there was something like a Disneyland Tour or something. That, like Disneyland
they made
Magic
I remember
Tour.
they made Disney Infinity to try and say, you know, to try and beat Skylanders.
And it failed.
but that was, like, a long time ago. I think this came out, like, a year or two ago. Where it was like a Disneyland adventure. Yeah, it's called Disneyland Adventure. That's what it's called. And I think like it was basically just like a Disneyland theme video game, which sounds like something for kids. I don't know. But yeah.
Sounds magical.
You know what kind of video game we need?
What?
Donald Trump Simulator.
That already exists. unfortunately.
I mean, Disney used to make... Disney used to have good games. Like back in the NES, they had... what was that game? They talk a lot about it in AVGN and Cinemassacres. DuckTales. Yeah, DuckTales.
Wait, Disney had an NES game?
Yeah, it was called DuckTales. It was made by Capcom.
Oh, I was not aware of that. No.
No, they made a lot of there's like a Darkwing Duck game. I think there's like a few of them. Like Mickey Mouse's Magicland Adventure or something like that, where it was like a Mickey Mouse platformer. They used to make like a pretty decent game. Also like Aladdin for Sega Genesis. So yeah, they made like a few decent games. But like I think around 2000 and from 4, I think like in the second generation in on the PS, I think like during the PS2 era, they sort of dropped right. video games. Thing.
Hey, Joel, why are you outside my house? Just you running around with like a little tiny thing in your mouth.
Say what? No.
There's a squirrel running around with a fruit in his mouth.
Wow, you're a creepy.
But anyway,
you're a creepy stalker. What... You know that.
Anyway, so what I wanted to say was, what the heck happened to Disney? Because I remember the old cartoons. They used to have these old cartoons that mocked the Nazis and all that kind of stuff. And real savage. And it was like,
answer. There's a simple answer. They became more corporate.
Yeah. And woke.
Well, that and time happened because, you know, the war sort of ended. And there's really no point to make hood up Nazis if they're all dead.
Well, I know that, but
They should have literally stopped them, then that's that. But now, just to get back on the whole, you know, theme park track, now wouldn't this basically have the potential if every single, you know, Universal Studios managed to build a Nintendo section, and they'll probably, you know, just drive up all popularity again. Benefits Nintendo, benefits Universal.
It would give a big, huge blow to Disney, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea, honestly, like... And
you know what? I can't wait for it.
You should invest in Universal Studios stock right now, because this is probably going to be big.
Yeah. Oh, it will. It will.
Yeah. Right?
I got no...
This is, like, pretty much a get-rich-quick scheme.
Yeah, but they gotta pull it off, too, you know that?
Yeah. Imagine Six Flags and Nintendo, like, they cooperated to make a roller coaster... the Universal theme park, that's like Nintendo themed, but like in a Six Flags style, you know, it's like an epic kind of roller coaster.
They should make an arcade building that's shaped like a GameCube.
Or maybe they should have one of those crazy towers where like it shoots you up, and it's like one of those Team Rockets blasting off type of situations.
Oh no, we're blasting off into space again.
That'd be funny.
I mean, honestly, this stuff has the potential for like great crossovers with Universal. Like, just imagine, you know, Nintendo Universal buddying, you know, crossover cartoons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is definitely the right move.
I've been to Universal
King
Studios.
King Kong is Universal, right? Wait, that would kind of be weird, right? Because King Kong is from Universal Studio, but Nintendo has Donkey Kong, which is like inspiration to the King Kong.
And is
it? That would kind of be... Yeah, it is, because like...
It is, yeah.
Wait, Donkey Kong is the inspiration for King Kong. Right?
It's the other way around.
No. First it was King Kong, and then Donkey Kong, which was
inspired by
King Kong. There's a, I believe there was like a video game for the NES where it was like an educational Nintendo game.
Pretty much.
Where you had to place King Kong at the top of the Empire State Building. It was an educational game. by the way.
Oh wow!
That but really
now,
doesn't
now,
sound
that, that
so
stuff,
fun.
That stuff ain't gonna fly.
Oh yeah, Mario's missing.
That stuff ain't gonna fly.
Yeah, that's the game Mikhail played. Mario's missing.
But hey, all things considered, though, would you actually love to go to the that park? Oh, I would.
Of course.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm totally gonna save up to go to this.
Oh yeah, me too.
But
yeah,
I need to get
happens,
first.
That's if it happens, though. You gotta remember that if it happens.
Well,
yeah.
It is happening. They already bought the land for it, and it just has to be developed. So you know what I think we should do? We should somehow contact the developers of this park and give them some suggestions of all these crazy like ride ideas and stuff, and maybe.
I think they already have something in the works as well.
I'm sure
they do.
But,
they've got a
vision. Yeah.
They have a vision
not?
Lined
just
up. Right. Now it's just they got to make it happen. But hey. Sorry,
I really
want to
ride in a hot air balloon shaped like Meow.
I know. But hey.
Question. Is Fire Emblem does Fire Emblem like belong to Nintendo?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
So Fire Emblem could also be in that park as well. Oh, that's
uh-huh.
There's a lot that can do to it as well. You could have every other Nintendo franchise, old to new, land permitting. Just the possibility.
Yeah, we'll bring in all sorts of
Well, all the power to Nintendo. I jump on that bandwagon.
Me too. Anyway. But yeah.
Well, I mean, Nintendo will look at this as expanding their business.
It is.
Yeah.
I love it. They're literally going to
do
be
we have any do we have any live comments?
I mean, I wish it were kind of
not really. I'm on there right now.
It's
because of like technical problems.
I know. Look, it's what it is though, but next week we'll have things ironed out and sorry about this though. But that's why we're going to work on getting the audio version once I'm done with after a long day, but there might be delays, but we'll definitely get it to you though. So yeah.
I got one. In the chat, it says from Felix Fox, moi. Hi, guys.
Wow.
Self-promotion at its finest.
I could think of worse thing. Worse.
Sorry, I had to do that.
Wow. But anyway, yeah, that's pretty much where we're at the time we have for it. Again, we all wish the circumstances were better, so we had, but we're really trying to make this work, and yes. So would you guys kind of like to close up, what's happened with this week's news kind of cycle, one at a time?
Well, I thought you were going to say about the Epic thing.
As much as I'd love to, though, I think I kind of realized we overstretched for time, but,
come on!
I mean, honestly, I would have loved to, but sometimes there are some things that I can't or cannot accommodate for, and,
I can understand. We have to respect the time schedule.
It's not that I've got two different times.
Well, it can always be a possibility for the next one.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, you could always leave it for the next one.
I know. But yeah, but so far, what did you think of this week's kind of news developments?
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had fun. I had a lot of fun at my fur camp.
Oh, don't you worry. You'll get to...
I mean, back to that stem cell research thing. I think it is a pretty good idea. It's still just early to really... to my mind, to really proceed with any of it right now.
I know. Again, I wish I had...
it's an early technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all in all, though... Hey, Vera, would you like to close up with anything?
I was
Orange Dog bad?
Of course, obviously. I was pretty concerned that we were not able to make it this week, and yet somehow we did find a way. This does appear to be a temporary situation, and we're still trying to figure out exactly where to go from here. But aside from that. The news this week has been interesting, and it's definitely some stuff we should keep an eye on.
Well, most
definitely.
I
hope you guys have an awesome day.
All right. Yeah, so
Have a good day, guys.
All right, yeah, I think this is our signing off.
See ya.
Farewell until next time.